You know, the Bible is full of a lot of different stories. The Bible's full of all these, what you would consider minor characters that you don't really think about. We gloss over these subjects, we gloss over these characters in our readings and in our study because their story is so short and it doesn't seem to really impact the whole Bible message all that much. And one of those characters is the character of Naboth. It's a character that I personally kind of gloss over. You know the story, you understand what the consequence of what happened, but that's pretty much the end of it. Through this study, I've learned some things about this man, learned some things about some lessons to learn from his story that have truly impacted me, and I hope that it can do the same for you in your Christian walk. Now, in this story, there are a few people that are important. There's at least three people that are main players in this story. There's Naboth, the man we're going to talk about. There's Ahab, the king of Israel. And then there's Jezebel, the queen of Israel. Now, I want you to understand, of these three people, there's only one person that really has no reputation for being somebody prominent. Not a whole lot's known about him. Ahab was known as one of the most wicked kings of Israel, but he's known. Jezebel was known as the wicked queen of Israel. Everybody knows who that is. You don't hear that name very often in a good way. If you hear that at all, it's in a negative connotation. Naboth is not a name you hear very often, especially his story. We're going to look at that this evening, and to look at the story, we need to understand where it's located. The story is located in 1 Kings chapter 21. But the city in which it's located is Jezreel. You see that red dot is pointing, it's got a point on it, and it's pointing to the city of Jezreel. This whole area is called the Valley of Jezreel. This whole area was very fertile, had a lot of good land, and hence the reason there's a lot of cities in that area. Now, the city in which this takes place is right here. That's the reason, because of the fertility of the area, that Ahab decided to build his palace, decided to build a palace, I'll put it that way, a palace in that city. And it's because of the location, because of what people did there, that Naboth becomes a story that we're going to talk about. It's because of this land. We're going to start in 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Now Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of the king of Ahab, the king of Samaria. And after this, Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near my house, and I will give you a better vineyard for it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you its value in money." See, what was going on at this time is that Ahab had his palace, but he wanted a little vegetable garden, or as the King James calls it, an herb, a garden of herbs. He wanted to take this man's land and basically create his own little vegetable garden with it. But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." And Ahab went into his house vexed and sullen because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him, for he had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. So in this story, we find that Naboth says, "No, I am not giving you my land." I want you to understand, he's talking to the king of Israel. He's talking to the most important man in the land at this time. And he says, "No, I am not going to give you my land." And what does the king do? He doesn't get up in a tirade and get mad. He decides to pout. And he decides to go lay on his bed, turn his face away, and not eat. How many times have we done that whenever we don't get what we want? We start pouting about it. He acted like a child. Children do that at times. This is a grown man, the king of Israel, is acting this way. When you lay down on your bed, if you're a prominent person like that, people are going to notice. His wife notices. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 7, Jezebel said, his wife said to him, "Do you now govern Israel? Arise and eat bread and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So Jezreel notices what's going on. She tells her husband, "Quit acting like a baby. Aren't you the king of Israel? Can't you do what you want to do?" And so she says, "You know what? I'm going to handle this. I'm going to take care of it. You're going to be a baby about it. I'm going to handle it for you." So that's what she does. And she wrote in letters, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth at the head of the people, and set two worthless men opposite him, and let them bring a charge against him, saying, "You have cursed God and the king, then take him out and stone him to death." So Jezebel's response, her way of dealing with this situation, was to have Naboth killed. What she was going to do is have the elders and noblemen of the city of Jezreel basically frame this man for doing something that he didn't do, simply because he did not give Ahab what he wanted. We find that that's exactly what those men did. And as soon as that had happened, and as soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead." This is the entirety of the story dealing with Naboth himself. There's more to this story. There's consequences because of the decisions that Ahab made. There's consequences of the decision that Jezebel made by having him killed. But this is the entirety of Naboth right here. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about a little bit of some of the lessons that we can learn from his story. Like I said, these are some powerful lessons that I have found in my own life that I hope that are beneficial to you. The Lord forbid the price for doing the right thing. And lastly, don't sell out. Those are the three things that we're going to look at this evening. The Lord forbid. Now, I want you to think about the idea of selling this land. It's really not that big a deal. It's a piece of land. It's not worth dying over. Naboth could have just sold it to him. You're talking about the king of Israel. You're talking about the man, one of the most prominent men in the country, and he's asking to pay you for this land. You know, if you were to sell it to somebody, I doubt you would have got as much money as you would have gotten from a king. You could have jacked that price up and said, "You know what, it's going to cost three times as much as it would cost somebody else to buy this land because you're a king, and he could afford to pay it." Well, what about the fact that he wanted to give him a better vineyard instead? That's another option that Naboth had. He could have done that. You know, it wasn't that Ahab was being unreasonable in his request. He wasn't saying, "Just I'm going to take it from you because I'm the king." He was trying to be accommodating to Naboth, trying to give him something in return for that land. But the response that Naboth gave was, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the land, the inheritance of my fathers." Now, I want you to know that it was against God's law, the Old Testament law, for Naboth to sell his land. Now, you may find that interesting. I'm going to show you an instance in which God tells the people, "You are not allowed to sell this land." There's two places that we can look at. We're going to look at one. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. And this is in the modern King James Version. "The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and pilgrims with me." See, this land didn't belong to Naboth. This land didn't belong to Ahab. This land belonged to God. And what God is telling the children of Israel in Leviticus is, you cannot sell this land. The inheritance that you're getting in Canaan, you are not allowed to sell that to somebody else outside of your tribe. You're not allowed to sell it forever. Basically, I can't give you money for it, and I get to keep the land for the rest of my life, or for and give that land to my kids. He couldn't do that. Now, they were allowed, if you were to read more into Leviticus and then also in Numbers 36, you'll see that there is the ability to lease that land out to other people. You could sell it for a season. You could sell it for a period of time, but eventually that land had to come back to the original owners. Numbers 36, what it says is that land is not to be sold between tribe to tribe, from one tribe to another. Because you think about it, if you were to do that, let's say, I also want to mention that the fact that the daughters also inherited land from the father. Let's say a man didn't have a son, and he had a daughter instead. That daughter inherited that land. Well, let's say that daughter marries somebody outside of the tribe that they're in. That land would travel with them and become part of the land that belongs to this other tribe. So it goes against God's law. So to keep that from happening, God said, you are not allowed to sell the land. You're not allowed to give it to another tribe. That land belongs and stays with each tribe because that's their inheritance. That's what God said. This now is part of what you get. You know, Naboth had to know that. How did he know that? That was, in my opinion, a very obscure thing to know, that you're not allowed to sell the land. You know, in our lives, the standard of living must be God's word. We must know what's in God's word so that we can make a decision when somebody approaches us to make a decision such as Naboth had with Ahab. He knows exactly why he can't do what he can't do. And he knows exactly why he should do what he should do. Because he had God's word as a standard of living. He knew what was in God's word. He knew what was in the law. As a Christian, do you know what's in God's law for you? Do you know and live your life with a standard of living that Christ's words are your standard? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Now, I want you to think about this. This is not just talking about land. When we're talking about this, we're talking about every decision that we make. When you talk about a job, when you talk about what school you're going to go to, when you talk about where you're going to live, every decision should be made with God's word as the standard that you're living by. No decision that is made in our life should ever pass through our mind without God's word being the standard. And if it does, we're not living the way we should. God's word is a standard. If you give one iota away and do it as if it's not a big deal, what if Naboth had said, it's not a big deal? Would he have died? No, he would not have died, but he would have been disobeying God's will. What matters more than your life is following God's will. What matters more than what job you get, how much money you make, is following God's law. What matters more than what sports you play, what house you have, is God's law and following what God has planned as a Christian. Now, I want you to understand, there is a price sometimes for doing the right thing. Naboth died for following God's word. I want to be very clear, there is a price at times for following God's word. There may come a time in your life where you have a promotion or you have a job available to you, or maybe you have a college that's wanting you to attend that college, and you have to make a decision that may not make you the most wealthy person. it may not be the best thing in a worldly sense. But because you're following God's will, God's word, God's will, you're going to be all the better for it. Naboth died. And the men of the city and elders and the leaders who lived in the city did as Jezebel had sent word to them. Verse 13, and the two worthless men came in and sat opposite him, and the worthless men brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of the people. Naboth cursed God and the king. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stones. Naboth never, as far as what's recorded, cursed God. He disagreed with what the king said, but he didn't curse God. Yet because he did the right thing by following God's law, he was killed. We as Christians have to understand that there will be a price. In many places in this world, there is a price to be paid for being a Christian. Brother Jerry just got back from Nigeria, where there is a price at times for being a Christian. The country of India now is starting to have more and more persecution because you're a Christian. There are regimes all over the world, in places like Korea, in other countries, China, places like that, where being a Christian may get you killed. As a Christian, do you truly make God's life, or sorry, make God's word the standard for your life? Are you willing to pay the price for doing the right thing? We may have to suffer for God's word. John 15, verse 20, remember the words that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours. Jesus was put to death. We as Christians are not greater than Jesus was. We should not ever, ever feel complacent that we may not have to suffer that same type of punishment. As a Christian, it's very possible. Maybe we have become complacent in this country because we don't really have that fear. We don't really have to worry about that here. The time may come where we do have to fear that. Have you made God's word your standard of life, that it doesn't matter, that you're willing to pay the price for following God's will and following God's word? Luke 9, verse 23 through 24, and he said to all, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. You know, I heard a statement that I really hadn't thought about until I heard it from this person. And it had to do with the verse 23. You know, when you think about that cross, I always thought of it as a burden. I just thought of it as something you have to carry on your back like Jesus did up the hill of Calvary. And it's just a burden that you have to bear. But Jesus died on that cross. You know what Jesus might also be saying here? You may have to die for your conviction. When you're carrying that cross, it's a reminder of the fact that you may have to die for your conviction. You're bearing the same thing that's going to put you to death. How committed are you to Christ? Are you willing to pay the price for doing the right thing? Don't sell out. You know, it's really easy for us in this world, in this society, to just sell out and just give up. We have a life of ease. We have a life that makes things really easy. If you want to get an education, you can get it. All you have to do is work hard for it. You want to get your dream job? You can get it. You just have to work hard for it. You want this house? You want this car? You can get it. But you sometimes have to sell yourself out to do that. Every second of your day has to be devoted to getting that job. Every second of your day has to be devoted to getting that education at times. Every second of your day has to be devoted to this and that. And you sell yourself to those things. Don't sell out. Naboth would not would not sell his inheritance for anything. He was offered money, and he was offered something better, a better vineyard. How many times has Satan offered us something better? How many times has Satan offered us something that we say, that'd be so great if I could do that? But in reality, it's not any better, because what the best decision that you can make is to follow God. It's not to sell out and do what you want to do. As a human, I'm sure Naboth had the thought, man, I could make some money on this land. Man, I can get a better vineyard. Maybe his plot of land was just a little square acre, or just an acre. And that's all it was. Maybe Ahab was offering him 10 acres. He's got more profit coming in that way with a vineyard. If he's got a vineyard on that, he's got a lot more land to make more money, more for himself. He can do what he wants to do, and he could have sold himself out to get what he wanted. But instead he said, no, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. You know, there's more to that than just Naboth. His entire tribe was linked to that land. There's more that's attached to you than just you. I want you to understand that. Decisions you make, don't only affect you, and don't only reflect on you. Those decisions, he could have sold that land to Ahab. But what would his father have thought? You think about that. Naboth would have had his dad there. This wasn't a time when you would have had people just going off to school to become an engineer, go off to school to become something else. You learned the trade that your father learned. You did exactly what your father did, and you became good at that because you spent every waking moment with him to learn how to be that type of person. He had a vineyard. I guarantee you that Naboth's dad took him out and showed him how to plant a grape vine, showed him how to plant an olive tree. He had time and effort devoted into what Naboth and that land. He spent a lot of time with him. What would have his father thought if he said, I'm selling it, I'm making some money? He would have just sold out. There's more attached to you than just you. You know, Ahab was a man who did sell himself out. There was none who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab, whom Jezebel, his wife, incited. He acted very abominably, almost said abdomen for some reason, in going after idols as the Amorites had done, whom the Lord cast out before the people of Israel. There was none who sold himself to do what was evil. Ahab sold himself to do what was evil. Now, it was incited by his wife, so there's a lesson there. Be careful what company you keep. Be careful who you spend your life with. It matters. Is that person going to get you to heaven, or are they going to keep you from heaven? But you know, Ahab could have said, no, I'm not doing that. But instead, he sold himself to do what was evil. What would you do? What would you sell your inheritance for? Because we all as Christians have an inheritance. Eternal life. Heaven. That will be our inheritance as Christians. But how many times are we willing to sell that for 5 minutes of pleasure here? How easily can we give up our soul? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? You could gain everything in this world and lose your soul, and you would have profited nothing. But at the end of the day, it doesn't go with you. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Don't sell out. There are so many things that we could give up our Christianity, give up our Christian walk for. Don't do it. Plain and simple, don't do it. But at the end of the day, it's not going to be good for you. At the end of your life, you're not going to look back and say, look at how great this life is. When you're dead, you're dead. The only thing that matters is what you did as far as living for God. You know, like I said, that story, the story doesn't end with the death of Naboth. There's more to that story. We talked a little bit about the fact that on the last sermon I gave on Jehu, I talked about the zeal that he had for God. You know what that zeal was for? It was to eradicate Ahab's family. God was so displeased with what happened, not only with Naboth, but just the entire life that Ahab lived. But because of what happened to Naboth, God said, okay, this is it. We're done. And he eradicated his whole family because of that decision. If you sell yourself out, you're essentially eradicating your family from God's house. If you sell yourself out, and you sell your whole family out because you choose to do what you want to do, what chance do they have of learning the gospel from you? What chance do they have of having their soul saved by you? You can hope and pray that it'll happen by somebody else, but you have an opportunity to do it yourself. Don't sell yourself out. Be like Naboth. And say, I will not give up my inheritance of my father's. I will not sell out. I will live my life devoted to God. And I will live my life as a beacon to those around me. I hope the things that I've presented to you this evening have been something to make you think and make you consider your life as a Christian. I hope that what we've talked about and the story of Naboth will help you in your Christian walk. If you found that you have given yourself over to doing things that you want to do and not devoting your life fully to Christ, devoting your life fully to God, being willing to pay that price if it's asked of you, we'd ask you to come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.